Father, we thank you and we love you, Lord, this morning because you first loved us. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you because of all of your goodness and all your mercy toward us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As we come together for fellowship today, we give you praise and we give you glory. And let the joy of the Lord, you know, be with us in our hearts. Let the voice of gladness be heard from our lips in the name of Jesus. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Lord, give us that understanding concerning the things that you are showing us out of the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I am going to run through, some highlights of the lesson that I'm going to let you share your thoughts and reactions on this lesson. Today, I want to focus on the lesson. After we're done with sharing on the lesson, then you may share on other things because I did not get enough shares on this lesson. So I want to do that this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, what is the lesson? Glitters, but it's not gold. No glitter, yet it's gold. Well, what does that mean? It means that there is that glitters, but may not be gold. And yet, there are, on the other side, something that may be gold, but it's not glittering. And the gold may be hidden from plain sight. But the Lord knows where the gold is at. And sometimes, because we are always looking after the outward appearance, you know, we may see something that, we think is gold just because it's glittering. But, you know, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, the scripture says, but the end thereof may be the ways of death. We don't know. I mean, there may be a choice that looks good on the outside, but he may end up in flames. We told that story out of Genesis 13. When Lot looked and he saw what he thought, you know, was the better choice. The places that looked green, looked like they had green pastures for his flocks, and so on and so forth. So he chose that. But that place ended up in flames. Now, little did he know that he was heading, you know, into the midst of people that were wicked, you know, before the Lord. But on the outside, looking from afar off, he saw the plains and they looked good. He chose that. On the other hand, well, Abraham was stuck with the short end of the stick, if you want to call it that. But yeah, there was gold in it. God the Lord gave him a word. Hallelujah. And this lesson tells us that, look, we should not lean on our own understanding. Looking at things, we think it's going to be this way. You don't know what's going to be tomorrow. Only the Lord knows. We ought to always ask the Lord before we make choices, especially significant choices in our lives. You know, I mean, in fact, if we can practice with every little thing, that would be great. But mostly the big choices that we need to make. There are some little things that may not be of consequence too much. Whether you're going to put on a blue dress or a yellow dress or white or black, may have not too much consequence. It may have consequence. Everything is consequential if the Lord has a word on it. If the Lord tells you to put on the blue rather than the white, then there's a meaning to it, and there's a reason. But if you're just there trying to pick out, you know, something to wear, and the Lord didn't say anything about it, maybe that's okay. You put on whatever you want. But if we practice the presence of the Lord in everything, that's even better. However, when we're trying to go left or right, it's better ask the Lord I'm trying to make a choice of some significant things, you know. And look, our choice may not be grounded in facts. They may not even be grounded, you know, in understanding. It may just be, you know, looking. And, you know, that's how sometimes people make choices. And even knowledge that we have may be shallow. Maybe we only know something, you know, only know so much, and we think that we know. So always best lean upon the Lord and let Him direct us. We've spoken about, you know, even choices that other people make that affect us, you know, and we spoke about when Saul was going to be replaced, and God had sent Samuel down there to go pick out one of the sons of Jesse. We saw what happened and how the Lord, this was a powerful statement that the Lord made. Say, you look after the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And they said the Lord has rejected him. I mean, that was Samuel's first choice. It was even Jesse's first choice. Yeah. Put forward what he thought was his best selections first, and had little regard or no regard at all for that which was actually God's choice. The man that would be God's choice, young man, was not even invited at first because he was despised. Nobody thought anything of him. But all the people that were paraded, the audition has been, well, this must be God's choice. Even Samuel, the prophet, you know, said, you know, surely the Lord's chosen is before him. Because he saw the man, he looked good. I mean, he was well built. Yeah. Maybe he read his credentials, you know, trained, military training and everything. Well, no, the Lord said, I have rejected him. It's not going to be the one. So. One by one, the Lord rejected everyone that was presented. The one that was not presented, the one that was not invited, the one that apparently had nothing going for him was God's choice. But the way God chooses is not the way we choose. It's not the way we think. God said that himself in Isaiah 55. My thoughts are higher than yours. My ways higher than your ways. Even just like the heaven is higher than the earth. You know, so no, let's not lean on our own understanding. The Lord takes even the base and weak things of the earth to confound the mighty. We talked about that. You know, God doesn't need might and strength. In fact, Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by power, it's not by might. By my spirit, said the Lord. The Lord doesn't need numbers either. You know, when Gideon was amassing an army, he started out with 32,000. And God said, no, I've rejected them all. And pared it down to only 300. Because he didn't want them to think that it was by their numbers that they did it. I mean, and we talked about many paradoxes in the scriptures. I'm giving you this review in case somebody is in the room for the first time and didn't hear those lessons. But I want to hear your own thoughts as well. You know, when I'm done here in a few minutes. There are many things that God will say in the scriptures. You know, God called people kings that had no crowns. They were crownless. Yeah, they were called kings. They did not have any collars around their necks. Yeah, they were called priests. When you do a training, you do another check afterwards. You know, see, well, make sure you know. And you weak but strong. Poor but actually rich. You know, wise and knowledgeable, but receive no instruction from the Lord. The Lord hides it from the wise and the prudent. There are many paradoxes like this in the scriptures. And then those that didn't know anything at all, The Lord gives it to them. Babies, Jesus said. You know, there may be that is dead but alive. And there are that, those that maybe think they are alive but are dead. Jesus said to the church in Smyrna, you have a name that thou livest, but you are dead. Yet he says, well, to him that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he's alive. You know, Paul himself said the same thing. Even though I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live. Unknown, but yet we are well known. Dying, but behold, we are alive. Looks as if we may be sorrowful, but we're always rejoicing. I mean, there are things around you that could have made you sorrowful. That's what that means. But you are always rejoicing. Just like Habakkuk said. He said, look, I don't care what's going on around me. I will rejoice in the Lord. Now, how many people can actually do it that way? If we can only rejoice when things are good, well, then we haven't learned how to walk with God. Now, you say, have nothing, but yet you are possessing all things. And even Jesus was portrayed. People are looking for him to be a lion that will come there, you know, and consume and devour and destroy, you know, at once everything. No, but he came as a lamb, bloody lamb, that is. And in even the moment when he was weakest, it looked like when devil had him on the cross, say, I got you right where I want you now. That was his strongest moment. It was his death that broke the power of death over everybody else. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We're told in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 that, you know, through his death, he died that he might deliver those who through the fear of death were all their lives subject to bondage. In his death, he broke the power of death. And he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. He got it too. Glory to God. But it was in his weakest moment that he got that victory, it looked like. You know, and these things are what, that's the way God walks. Jesus himself said, look, the way up is down. You know, you want to be chief among your brethren? You should be the servant of all. And anyone that abases himself is the one that will be humbled. I mean, will be lifted up rather. But the one that, you know, lifts up himself will be abased. Whoever will be proud will be abased. But whoever humbles himself voluntarily, they are the ones that will be exalted. So we see that the way up is actually down. And the way down is to put yourself up. Then you, God will bring you down. That's what the scripture says. He resists the proud. And so we have many of these things in the scriptures. Lessons also told us, you know, in the scriptures concerning how that all works. Praise the Lord. And there's also the negative side that we covered. You know, some that thought they were rich, but they were actually poor. Jesus said, you have said that you are rich and increased with goods. So the church in Laodicea, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. But Jesus said, no, but you are poor, you are miserable, you are blind, and you are wretched, and you are naked. Wow. You know, never known that Jesus would call anybody wretched and miserable and naked and blind. Well, yeah. And those were the ones that thought they were rich and had need of nothing. Clean on the outside, it looks like, but Jesus said, dirty on the inside. Whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. You know, one time Jesus even looked at a tree from afar off. It looked good. But he had no fruit in it, you know. It looked like, you know, I mean, it had leaves and it looked good from the outside. But Jesus found no fruit therein. Appearances are not always what they seem. That's what this lesson is all about. You know, the appearance of good had a name that thou livest, but you are really dead, Jesus said. You know, so there are some people that are sighted. But they're actually blind. Jesus said, well, they're blind leaders. They will, if the followers are also blind, two of them who fall into the ditch. He also told, quoted lessons from Isaiah. You know, these people see. I mean, they have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. They have a heart, but they understand nothing. You know, that seeing, they may see, but see nothing. Hearing, they may hear, but hear nothing. And they may not perceive and get knowledge. God blinds them. You know, the Lord, but at the same time, you know, he takes the last, make them first. Take the first, make them last. I mean, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And blessed be the name of the Lord with whom we have to do, you know. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the one with whom we have to do? I mean, if the Lord had allowed somebody else to make the call, none of us would make it. Or at least many of us would not make it. Because they would be looking only at the outward appearance. But God sees beyond all of that. See beyond my fault. Hallelujah. And call me anyway. Praise God. We see the people, even Paul said, look, you yourself see that how not many people that the people that Jesus called to be around him, they were unlearned men. Even the crowd said they saw that these people were unlearned men, you know, and they perceived that they must have been around Jesus because, you know, their walks were like Jesus, but they were not trained. They were not learned. They were not schooled, didn't have any degrees or credentials, you know, to their name. But they were the very choices of God. Praise the Lord. So, my summary of the lesson is this. We need discernment, spiritual discernment. Because when you are trying to make a choice in life, you know, some people even for you know, choosing who they will marry. This applies as well. Choosing what career you will do. Now, you know, you don't have to go with what everybody is saying. Everybody says, oh, this place is, you know, this career is great. That's where their money is. You don't know that. Maybe for somebody else, maybe not for you. That may not be what God has for you. You're looking for someone to marry. You're looking for somebody that is beautiful and, you know, so forth. You don't know. Their beauty may be an enchantment. You don't know any of these things. You know, God is the one that knows. Looking for dark, tall, and handsome. You know, you don't know that's the right person for you. But on the outside, it may look good. But what is underneath all of that? We need discernment. Jesus said some people come in sheep's clothing, but inside are ravenous wolves. You know? So, we've got to look beyond the outside. But we thank God. Thanks be unto God that has given us the Holy Spirit. The governor to guide us through life. Who instruct us in the way that we should go. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Things that you couldn't see. You are looking, but you are not seeing. You know, the Holy Spirit will show you. And many times we're looking at things, we're staring right at them, but we can't see. We can't see anything that's underneath because we don't know. But the Lord knows, and the Lord sees it all. The eye of the eagle has seen it all. Nothing escapes him. He knows it all. And wouldn't you rather lean on him for him to show you what he knows that you don't know? Help you make the right choices? Rather than for you to just look at what appears to be glittering on the outside. You know, I mean, there's so much in this, on this lesson that you should have something to share. You know, we've even talked about how the Lord makes choices. You know, sometimes it allows the crossing of the hands. Sometimes he makes the elder to serve the younger. I mean, people say, no, that cannot be. I mean, this one is the oldest. He needs to have the birthright. God said, no, I rejected him. I put it on the other one. You know, none can say to the Lord, what doest thou? You can't do it. you know, he ruleth in the armies of heaven and does according as he wills. Nebuchadnezzar finally found that out, spoke it. You can't tell the Lord what is he doing. He can do whatever he wants. And we talk about even things that start out small, look like, you know, nothing and nothing going for it. Jesus talked about the mustard seed, the least of all the seeds. Yeah, it looks like nothing at first, but it's packed with power. You know, when your family gets going, my goodness, it becomes a tree that fills the whole place. You know, small beginnings in our eyes, but greater endings, the Lord says. And so when you're making choices, significant life choices, you need the Lord to guide you. You know, you may go on a train that looks good, but maybe the tracks for that particular train we end after just a few yards, because you don't know, or a few miles. And this other train here, that doesn't look too good, you know, when you're about to board the train, you have the choices. You know, there's one train here that looks really nice, and looks like it's fast, electric, and everything, and looks modern, and so forth. And then there's this other crawly train that's, you know, looks like being driven by coal and steam and all of that. And, you know, the wheels are just slowly turning. But this other one looks really nice and smooth and so forth. You look inside, you know, that looks like luxurious place to be. You look at this other one, say, no. You know, and say, well, all aboard. And then it's time for you to board. Which one are you going to pick? Everybody naturally will pick that nice, smooth looking train. But you don't know what lies ahead. You may pick that train, but maybe it's going to be derailed. Maybe the tracks will end. Maybe something will happen. We don't know. And this other one that doesn't look too good looks like a locomotive. Maybe that's the one that's going to go further. You know? So, you never can tell. The one that's a smooth talker right now may not be the one for you. You know, maybe smooth beat, smooth talking you right now. Glib and everything. Speech is like butter and smooth and everything. you don't know what's going to be in the latter days. So let the Lord guide you. The one that looks beautiful right now. You know, and it looks pretty and everything. They may be the one that will, you know, turn against you. I mean, you don't understand what will be hereafter. So, turn your heart towards the Lord for guidance. Situation that you are in right now that doesn't look too good. Well, you don't know whether the Lord is using it for something else. On and on and on. So, you know, that's a summary from my side. I'm just going to leave it there. And I want us to be interactive in today's shares and cover this thing. Today will be a review from your point of view. What was the Lord saying to you when you were listening? You know, and as a refresher, I already, you know, repeated some of the things this morning. But I want to hear from you. You say what it is that the Lord showing you. You know, Jesus, he would ask his disciples at times, do you now understand these things? They say, yeah, Lord. Well, I'm asking here also, do you now understand these things? Well, give your shares and give your thoughts and give your reactions. So, you know, praise the Lord. Show yourself approved. Paul told Timothy, you know. Now, that's it from my side. I'm going to yield my mic. Just a short review from my side. I want us to do a house review together. And here's how it's going to work, in case you're wondering. Well, I'm in the audience. I can't speak. Well, sure you can. You raise your hand. Somebody will bring you to the stage. And if you are, you know, on stage, you can take turns. You know, speak for a few minutes, yield to somebody else, let everybody get a chance. Praise the Lord. So that's it. This morning, I'm going to yield my mic. I invite you to give your shares. We're going to do this. This first round will be on this particular lesson. When we have exhausted that, then you may share on previous lessons. But I want to get to this one first. So good morning and good afternoon again. And welcome. And so I'm going to yield my mic here. If you would like to share, let's begin right away. Praise the Lord.